You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Veronica Rickard.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, a Wisconsin expert on kids and concussions shares some of the latest research on recovery and how much rest is too much.
First, we're taking a look at a new report that looks at how people, especially kids, are segregated from different economic groups. The report, called Fault Lines, looked at the child poverty rates of students on either side of a school district boundary and how much they differed.
The more stark the difference in childhood poverty from one side of that school district border to another, the more segregating the border is considered. And a Wisconsin school district boundary was in the top 50.
Joining us now to tell us more is Rebecca Sebelia. She's the founder and CEO of EdBuild, the organization that released the report. EdBuild is a nonprofit that says its mission is to bring common sense and fairness to the way states fund schools. Rebecca, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks so much for having me.
So where in Wisconsin are we seeing school district borders that cause segregation?
They are all, unfortunately, surrounding Milwaukee. So in terms of kind of the borders around Milwaukee, there are 15 total neighbors. And of that, three of the neighbors actually rank in the top 50 of the most segregating in the country.
Give us a sense of how many school districts you looked at total.
So we looked at 33,500 school district lines, and we built an algorithm that basically compared child poverty across each one of those lines, so consistently comparing neighbors.
Now, Milwaukee is Wisconsin's biggest city. Compared to what you've seen elsewhere in the country, is it fair to say that this is an urban problem, or is it not that simple?
It's not that simple. We really see three problems associated with how these segregating borders come to exist. The first is that we have a reliance on property taxes that exacerbates income segregation. That's just how schools are funded, and so we see purposefully gerrymandered borders. We have legal precedent, both at the Supreme Court level and at the state level, that allows these borders to exist and makes it nearly impossible to desegregate across them. And the third is that school finance systems just haven't kept up with changing demographics. That's certainly true for the cities that we're seeing in the Rust Belt particularly. And so while it is an urban problem, it's kind of compounded by changing demographics as well.
Well, let's talk about those boundaries that showed up in your worst 50 list. What are you seeing when you look at Milwaukee?
So when we look at Milwaukee, we see something that's very similar to what we're seeing in other traditionally Rust Belt cities. So we see a deepening of poverty as the kind of population shrinks, and we're certainly seeing growth in the neighborhood suburbs that directly surround the city. When we look at kind of the overall, demographics of those neighbors, in some cases, we're looking at the difference of median household income of upwards of $100,000 in some of the neighbors versus about $35,000 in Milwaukee. So we see a dividing kind of a growing chasm between the haves and have-nots.
And in this case, you focused on the economics of this, not looking at other factors such as race. Why focus on the economics?
Well, we're a school funding organization, and we really focus on how the way that states fund schools contributes to segregation. And because of that, we focused on income, because school funding is so directly tied to both property wealth and the ability of families to pay those taxes. Income segregation means a whole lot more in terms of getting to the root of that specific problem, which is what is the role of the school finance system.
What is the effect that you saw? What happens when a school district boundary falls on the disadvantaged side of an affluent area?
What that means is that there's less property tax income per student that can be directed to to the schools. And so whereas some of Milwaukee's neighbors are generating upwards of $9,000 per pupil from their property taxes, Milwaukee is only unfortunately able to generate about $3,600. That's a pretty large gulf that has to be filled by the state in order to equalize for that revenue. When you have low-income districts, not just in Milwaukee but across the country, who become reliant on the state in order to fund their schools, you open them up to just more political turmoil, and you certainly don't want that to be applied to the neediest children.
We're talking with Rebecca Sebilia right now. She's the founder and CEO of EdBuild, a nonprofit that looks at school funding. And she's talking with us right now about segregating school district borders in Milwaukee. And zooming out now from Milwaukee, what did you see when you looked at the rest of the country?
One of the kind of overwhelming findings was that almost all of the segregation that we found to be the worst was located mostly in the Northeast and the Rust Belt. That was actually surprising to us, and one of the things that we started to dig into was actually looking at the policies of how school district borders could come to be in the first place. What's actually surprising is that in the South, school district borders are largely tied to county lines. So either they run along county lines or they're drawn within county lines, but that existing municipality is the basis for how school district borders are drawn. That is certainly not the case in kind of the Rust Belt states in the Northeast, where school district boundaries are not drawn along existing municipal lines. What that does is it creates the ability to intentionally segregate in order to kind of keep high-wealth areas and high-wealth neighborhoods funding for, you know, just their schools.
Now, when you think about the Rust Belt and the Rust Belt economy, you think about manufacturing and a loss of manufacturing jobs. Does that have a role to play in this?
We believe it absolutely has. One of the pieces that we're actually going to put out next week is a spotlight on what's happened in some of the Rust Belt cities. What we've seen is basically an emptying of the city when industry left, and the resulting kind of flight of the middle class left that city under-enrolled and more impoverished. And because we don't go back and look at school district borders on a regular basis, what we're not doing is kind of changing those lines based on shifts in demographics. And so what you end up with are pockets of dense poverty where prosperity used to exist.
Now, one of the things you talk about in your report is that this is maybe not something that's easily fixable by redrawing district lines because of a Supreme Court decision. Can you tell us where we stand with that?
So the decision was Milliken v. Bradley. It was actually a case that was brought in Detroit and its surrounding neighbors. And in that Supreme Court case, they ruled that desegregation did not have to occur across school district boundaries. They basically cemented the school district boundary as a means of purposefully segregating. We believe that there has to be a meaningful challenge to this specific court case in order to bring about the real change that we need, which is not allowing school district borders to be drawn into, you know, discriminately. Short of that, there are other things that legislatures can do to fix this problem. We can look at larger tax bases that still allow for local control of schools, but a broadening of kind of the economics of the school districts in the region. We can certainly look at what we touched on earlier, which is kind of a mandated review of whether or not school district boundaries are working with changing demographics every 5 to 10 years. If we do that for our electoral system, there's no reason why we can't do that for our school districts.
Rebecca, thank you so much for joining us today.
It was wonderful to be here. Thanks for having me.
That was Rebecca Sebilia, the founder and CEO of EdBuild. She talked to us about a report that looks at lines segregating school district borders in Milwaukee and beyond.